We have to really trust God.
Amen.
Yeah, we do. He does. We do have to trust God. You know, God is something. He really, really, God has some problems. He really thinks he's God. And he really believes that he should be the center of you and I and the things that we do and what motivates us. And so he really wants to get to the point where we really aren't trusting in the things he blesses us with, but we're trusting in the giver, the source of all the things we have. This can sometimes pull our attention away and cause us to fall into what we call idolatry, or putting our hope on money, or our salary, or what we're capable of doing, or the career I have. And it's easy to do that. So God, sometimes he just focuses you on back on really the ultimate source, who is God Almighty. How many here have jobs? Okay, very good. A couple of you are unsure about it. Anyway, it's a place where you go where they pay you. Okay. Okay, gotcha. You know, your ability to work and hold down a job is not your source. Now, it may feel like it because you have to get up and do those things, but ultimately, the one who gave you the ability, the one who gave you the acumen or the capability of doing something was God Almighty. He ultimately is your source. I'll never forget in 2012, we were in Auckland, New Zealand, and God had spoken to Renee and I, said, I want you to leave here in New Zealand and move to Brisbane, Australia, and plant a new church. And to do that, we had to sell our home, sell a lot of our stuff, and because it was more expensive to transport it over the Tasman Sea to Brisbane than it was just to buy brand new stuff when we got to Australia. So we sold a lot of our stuff. We sold our home, and then we put the rest in this little container, and they shipped it over to Australia in about 3 months. And we had to sell our cars because Australia would not take New Zealand cars, even though they drive on the same side of the road like the Brits do on the left-hand side in the cars. We couldn't do it because there was a big tax we would have to pay on our bighorns or our Zuzus. They call them troopers here. And we had two nice cars, and Renee had a Honda SRV, cute little vehicle, and she drove it. She didn't want to get rid of it, but we had to sell it because we couldn't afford the tariff and the tax to transport it over to Australia. Are you following me? So we were moving, and I remember we sold the Honda in 2 days and got a really good price for it. And then I had my Bighorn Trooper, Isuzu Trooper, or what they would call Bighorn in the Southern Hemisphere. And I remember it was worth about $20,000. And I thought, well, I'm going to get 20 grand, and it's going to help us move, and we're going to... And the Lord spoke to me. How many like God when God speaks to you? I didn't like this communique that God gave me. I didn't really look forward to it. But God said, I don't want you to sell it. I want you to give it away. And I was having a conversation with God. Have you ever done that? Have you had a God? Well, God, do you know how much that thing costs? And he, oh, no, I didn't really know. Would you tell me? No? Of course he knows. He knows everything. He knows how much it costs. He knows what it's going to cost you to move across the ocean to a new nation, to set up a house, to plant a brand new church. He knows.
Yeah.
And he says, I want you to give it away. And I went and talked to Renee. I don't know if you remember this. I said, honey, I feel like God's told me to give this thing away. And Renee, I love her. She goes, give it. You know, give it. You know, it was like last year's Chico's style. Give it away, get rid of it, you know. And so there's new stuff coming. But anyway, bad joke. But she said, just give it away. She was so quick to give it. And I tell you, inside of me, if I can be honest, which I'm going to be, I didn't really want to obey God.
Amen.
Do you realize money and wealth actually can talk to you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It has a voice.
Yes.
It says stuff like, you need me. I will take you places nobody else can take you. I will purchase things that nobody else will give you. And I will give you security at night. You won't have to be like Frank and lay awake at night worrying about how you're going to make a living. because you've got plenty of money in the bank. You don't have to worry. So money talks to you. Wealth talks to you. It has an allure. It has the ability to make you think that somehow, if you've got it, that you're okay and everything's going to be just fine in your world. And that's the culture we live in, ladies and gentlemen. And when we talk about biblical principles and prosperity, and let me finish the story. We went to Australia for 2 years, planted a church. God took care of all of our needs. Then we moved to Dallas, Texas to help a church, one of our Every Nation churches. And we didn't have any cars. We had to lease a couple of cars. And I had two kids in college. We had to lease cars for Ben, Rachel, and Abby. In fact, we bought one car that we shouldn't have bought. And then we had to lease a car and help them with that. So we, you know, it was expensive. And I'm thinking, God, we need another car. And you know what? One Saturday afternoon, a guy came to me and said, I've got something in the parking lot I want to show you. I walked out there. He gave me the keys to a brand new car. And Renee took it and took off. I've never seen it again. It became her car. So anyway, thank you, Jesus. But let me tell you, God is no man's debtor. You are not upside down when you obey God. And let me tell you something. Do you think the devil's going to tell you to give money away or give cars away? No, the devil will tell you to steal money and steal cars. That's his mode of operation. That's his M.O. So whenever there's that unction to do it, you know, it's against our nature. And God says that I have a way that I want you to live in biblical prosperity, and it all has to do with the attitude of your heart and my heart. Let's pray. Father, put your hands on your heart if you would, please. Lord, thank you that you have touched us with your truth. Lord, we've been stirred by worship. Lord, now let us be able to receive your word and, Father, be able to implement it in our actions. And, Lord, let us truly be cheerful givers from the heart. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, we'll be reading there. Deuteronomy was the second giving of the law to the children of Israel. And he reminded them of his plans. And notice what he says in verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth. Yes. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you and I the power to make wealth. Yes. And that he may confirm his covenant. Say covenant. God has a relationship, a covenant. He has an association with us that he says that I will be your God, you will be my people, if you will honor me as number one in your life, if I will be preeminent, I've got a covenant with you, and I'm going to give you power to overcome all the lack and all the deficiency that you see in the land of Canaan. Don't worry, I'm giving you power because I've got a covenant with you. Yes. I tell you what, I want that kind of pact with God, don't you? Yes. Where God says, look, there's a lot of trouble out there, but don't look at the people of the land. Don't look at the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Mosquitobites and all the otherites. Don't look at them. Look at the covenant I have with you. Amen. Yes. That I am going to cause you to prosper in a desert. Yes. I'm going to bring water where there is no water. Yes. I'm going to bring prosperity where there's only lack. Yes. I have a covenant with you. And my covenant is going to be manifested in the fact that I've given you power. Yeah. I've given you ingenuity. I've given you creativity in areas to make wealth that will cause the other pagan peoples of the land to be jealous of the God that you serve. Amen. Amazing. Yeah. You know, God really wants to show himself big in this hour. Yeah. Can I tell you something? God is on the giving hand today. He is on the giving hand. He wants to bless you abundantly. Will you trust him? And will you take these other little paganistic gods out of your life? Materialism, money, status. Will you let those things die? And will you put God as number one in your heart? He's the one who gives you power. He's the one who is your source. He's my source. Deuteronomy 38 through 9 says this. And if you will obey the Lord your God and observe all of his commandments, I will command you today, then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly. He won't just prosper you. He was going to prosper you abundantly in all the works of your hands, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of the ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. He said he will cause you to prosper abundantly. I want you to know something. When you're in God's will, you are going to prosper, even though society and there's a recession and gas prices are soaring up to $4 a gallon. Let me tell you what, that's not good, but we have a God that supersedes all those things that are happening in the land.
Amen. Yes.
I'm so glad James is here. Amen. James called me the other day and said, you know, Pastor Ken, I got to go to children's church. I said, oh, God. Lord, let him back. I need you in the main sanctuary. I need an amen person over there. You shout, amen. So James, you're doing good. You're doing real good. I will cause you to prosper abundantly. Say abundantly. That means you're going to have enough for your needs. And I love what Frank said. And enough to be a blessing. I want to have enough to take care of me and myself. And I want to have a blessing so I can bless other people. I can give to other people. You know what? There's something about being generous that is good for you. In fact, they did studies on people psychologically and socially. Amen. Generous people live longer than stingy people.
Amen.
Generous people are healthier than stingy people. Generous people have better outlook on life. Why? Because they realize their things are not their God, but God is the source of their things.
Yes.
I can give it away because tomorrow God's got 10 times that much he's going to drop into my lap if I'll trust him.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I came today. I need to hear this. This is good.
Amen.
I'm getting encouraged.
Yeah.
God is your source. Amen.
Amen.
He wants to bless you and I abundantly, not so we just have a big home and 10 cars in our driveway. No, it's so we can be a blessing. We can be a conduit of a flow of stream of water that blesses the people and blesses the nations. That's what he's after. Can I tell you, you cannot serve two masters. You can't have two wives. I mean, you can have it if you're a Mormon, but it won't work well. It doesn't work well. It just doesn't work well. I mean, I read the Bible, and this is why I know the Bible's real, because the Bible tells about embarrassing things that people of God, men of God, did. There was a man named Solomon. He was the wisest man according to the Bible. Can you tell you how dumb Solomon was, who was the wisest man? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Can you imagine going Christmas shopping with that bunch? I mean, it was out of control. And you know what he came at? He came out, here was the end of his life after trying to take care of all that. He had everything that a man could want. He said, everything is vanity. That was his conclusion after all his escapades. Everything is vain. It's not worth it. Then he said, fear God and obey his commandments. Fear God and obey his commandments. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve wealth and money and materialism and serve God. He doesn't want you to serve the blessing. He wants you to serve and honor the source of the blessing, which is him. Matthew 6:24 says this. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? What's he talking about? Here he's talking in the book of Matthew, and he's talking to people in the first century Palestine, and he uses this term mammon, which was an Assyrian term, for the Assyrians were the ones who came down and conquered Israel, and they were the ones who took Samaria and made it the capital and created all this idolatrous stuff in the temple in Samaria. And that's where the dreaded Samaritans came from that the Jews hated. These were the Assyrians. And the Assyrians had this deity named Mammon, and it's on the overhead. Mammon was this deity of wealth and provision and avarice. And unless you bowed down to him, this deity, wealth, and gain and avarice, you would be lost. And God, Jesus points to him and says, there, you have a choice here. The real choice is the God who made everything, or this false God that the Assyrians have introduced to you, the God of Mammon, the God of money and wealth and things, that somehow I'm enriched if I have things and I have money and the capability of doing all these things that only money can do. You cannot serve God and mammon. Does that mean we're not to be good stewards of money? No, we are to be good stewards of money. What I'm trying to say to you is, you're saying, well, Pastor Ken, is it wrong to have things? No, but it's wrong for things to have you.
Amen.
That's what mammon says. You need things. You need this. If you only had this car, if you only lived in this house, if you only traveled to this nation, if you only vacationed in this site, you would really be happy. You would really be fulfilled. That's the allure. That's why they have commercials. That's why they're advertising everything on your news feed or your Instagram. There's 15 commercials bombarding your Instagram or your Facebook or your website. Why? They want you to buy something. Why? If you get what they're peddling, you'll be happy, so they say. You'll be happy for a little while till the next best thing comes along, till the next car, till the next item of clothing, till the next pair of shoes. That's the world we live in. It's a spirit of mammon, a spirit of avarice. And if I could just do this and have this and accumulate these things, then perhaps then I would be happy. It's idolatrous and it's a false, empty hope, ladies and gentlemen. I remember when Renee and I first got married, I think we were pregnant with Rebecca, and that was 31 years ago. And we had just gone traveling to South Africa. And before that, we'd gone to Australia, New Zealand, Hawaii. And I remember we were newlyweds, pregnant newlyweds, and we were staying in a hotel. And how can I say it? We were broke. I didn't have two quarters to scrape together in my pocket. That's how bad it was. But I'm sitting here. Oh, Lord, help us. It's a bad feeling. That word even brings bad feeling, bro. You know. All right, let's get back on the other track, James. It's your anniversary, I know, but come on, brother. I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway. So anyway, we're sitting in bed, and you may remember this, some of you guys. We started watching this show that was very popular. It was called Robin Leach and the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we're watching it. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, yeah. So they show this couple, and they have helicopters back in their backyard and, you know, canines and dogs and, you know, giraffes as, you know, their menagerie. And they have everything, every kind of animal that you'd want, parakeets from Africa. And it's really kind of cool. And then they get in the helicopter, they fly somewhere, and then they start talking to Robin Leach about where they're going to go, you know. And they're going to Hawaii. They're going to go to the island of Maui. Then they're going to go down to New Zealand. They're going to go to the South Island, visit the Bay of Islands, which is beautiful. Then they're going to go to Brisbane, Australia, and go snorkeling in the Great Barrier Reef. Then they're going to go back to Hawaii. I'm thinking, it is the lifestyles of the rich and famous. It's to create envy in us. If only I could do that, I would be rich and famous. I would feel good about myself.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I hope we get a good honorarium for preaching last Sunday, because we're going to need it to pay the rent when we get back home to Gainesville. And all of a sudden, I remember something came to me. God spoke to me. He said, you know what? All those places that Robin Leach is saying, these exotic places that you can visit when you become rich and retire, I want to remind you, I've already taken you there, son, and you're only 31 years old.
Yeah.
And I thought, Renee, we've been there. We went there. We went to Brisbane.
Yes.
We went snorkeling here.
Yes.
We went to Fiji. We went to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Johannesburg. We went to Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Holland. We walked along the streets of Amsterdam that they said you could go. I thought, here we are, broke as the Ten Commandments, and we've been everywhere. This guy says you can go when you get rich, and we ain't rich. You know what? I thought, God, I like you. I like you, God. All of a sudden, a thankfulness in my heart, and this whole thing about only if I had more, and I need more money, and you know, and all of a sudden, I realized, God, you can take care of your own. You can't serve two masters, ladies and gentlemen. Either you will serve the God, the source of every good thing that you receive, or you'll serve the source and the mechanism that gets it into your hands. And then you'll idolize it once you have it. And let me tell you, cars and houses and things don't make a good God. They're mute. They can't do anything. When you pray to them, nothing happens. Yeah. Nothing. I remember a guy who got saved, first guy who got saved in New Zealand, a big rugby player. His name is Seda Liulavavi. That's his real name, Samoan guy. He had the biggest calves, biggest legs I've ever seen on a human being. Seriously. He was about 5'10", weighed about 280 pounds, and he was a rugby player. He was going to play professional rugby, and he was a man. I'm talking about a man. And that sucker had legs like they look like fire hydrants. And I remember looking at him, and it looked like the Incredible Hulk's, you know, calves. And I said, I started talking to him and introduced him to the Lord. He got saved. He got born again. His wife, Noveline, came along. She got born again and got saved. Their son, Dejan, who had juvenile leukemia and didn't grow in 2 years, God healed him, and he grew, like in 2 months, he grew up and totally healed. And they started bringing all their friends to our church. But the point was, I was talking to him, and he was saying, you know, Ken, you know, I may be able to go up and get a contract and play rugby professionally, and it's a big amount of money. And he was debating whether he should come to church and bring his family to church or chase this dream. And I said, Seda, the name Seda actually means carbon monoxide, believe it or not. Why his mother named him that, I'll never know. But I said, Seda, here's this rugby ball. I said, Seda, I said, next time you need help, next time one of your children gets sick, I want you to pray to that rugby ball, see how it responds to your request. You're going to chase this pipe dream that may or may not deliver, or are you going to stay true to the purposes of God? You know what? He got the message. He got the message. A lot of times God will allow things in you that look like it's my way out. This is my rescue. This is the avenue by which I'm going to make it big, baby. I'm going to have all my needs met. And it's just a trap. It's a counterfeit. Don't bite into that apple. Because God wants to be, even if he doesn't supply immediately, he still wants to be the God of our life. He says, I will bless you abundantly. Yes. And I'll do things that no other deity, no other idol can do. You cannot serve two masters. Proverbs 10:3-4 says, the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will reject the cravings of the wicked. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So what does he do? He tells us there's a sequence that if you trust me and you work for me and you're diligent with your labor, I'm going to bless you through your occupation. I'm going to bless you through your trade. I'm going to bless you through your occupation, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let you go hungry. I'm going to keep you, but will you trust me in the lean times? Will you trust me when things don't look the way you thought they should look? Yes. Are you going to trust him? Am I going to trust him? The hand of the diligent makes rich. And he who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in the harvest is a son who acts shamefully. Proverbs 10:22 says, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. Amen. I love this, and he has no sorrow to it. Can I tell you what? God wants to, he wants to make you rich, but he also wants you to be a good steward. Yeah. So you don't squander it in your lust or in your identity searching. He wants to bless you. Yes. How many know when your children are small, one day you would like to see them be able to drive an automobile? Maybe some parents don't want to see that happen, but but how many know you don't give the keys to your car to your 12-year-old son? I hope you don't do that. Please don't do that. Why? Not because you don't want him to drive, but because he's not capable of handling the decisions that go along with handling a vehicle on a busy thoroughfare or an interstate. Why? He's going to get killed and he's going to kill somebody else. It's not because you don't have plans for him to have it one day. It's because he's not capable of handling it just yet. So the reason God hasn't given you what you've been prayed for and somebody prophesied over you is because he wants you to grow up. He wants you to be responsible. Be faithful with what you have right now. Be faithful in the time you have right now. He's not going to let you go hungry, but be diligent. And as you're diligent and faithful, faithful with a little, he'll make you faithful over much. Amen. That's the principle. It's just, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't have to have everything right now. But God, if I'm faithful with a little and I'm a good steward, you're going to bless me. You're going to bless me and I'm not going to go hungry. I'm not going to go without. My trust is in you, God, not my ability to get a job.
Amen.
Not my ability for the economy to pay me.
Yes.
So that you'll always have a sufficiency. Say sufficiency.
Sufficiency.
You know what sufficiency means? More than enough.
That
you'll always have a sufficiency in everything. That you may have an abundance. I love it. You'll have a sufficiency so you can have an abundance for every good work. Wow. So you don't have to win the lotto to bless somebody. All you got to do is be faithful and save a few pennies. Don't go eating out. Eat some black beans and rice. You'll be okay. Eat at home. Tuna fish and cheese. Even if the cheese, eat at home, save the money, tithe. Let me just be frugal.
Yes.
You'll turn around in a few years, you'll have money, and you'll be able to do everything that God puts in your heart. Not only that, you'll be able to bless those who are in need.
Yes.
How many would like to be a blessing?
Yes.
Yeah. God wants you to be a blessing, but for you to be a blessing, he's going to have to bless you first.
Amen.
Now let's look at this. There are events that happen in our life. Let's go to the next slide, please. Yeah, here you go. These are called consequential events. These are things that happen to us because something else occurred. Consequential events could be receive. How many like to receive things?
Yes.
Like honor,
yes.
Friendship,
yes.
Money,
yes.
Compliments. How many like to receive compliments?
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody likes compliments, even if they're not sincere. Seriously. Oh, that dress looks so good on you. Even if we like to receive compliments. In fact, you live and die on Facebook if someone likes your little pose that you put up on there. If your little smile, or a picture of you having a dessert and coffee. What? A dessert and coffee? They like it, and all of a sudden, endorphins and adrenaline starts flowing in us. We all want to receive things. How many like to reap? You like people to give you stuff. How many like to go to the garden and get strawberries and blueberries and bananas and oranges? Show me that garden. I want to go with you. But anyway, you want to reap. You want to get stuff. We like rewards. How many here have ever received a reward for maybe a sporting event or a team that you were on or an academic award? How many know we like that when they call you up and the MVP is Cleotis Jones? We're all happy. And you take home the plaque or the trophy, and nobody's there except your mom and dad and maybe your grandmother. And that's all that matters. And you know what? You still have those trophies you won in Pee Wee League sitting on your mantle somewhere. Why? Because they meant something to you. I told you, honey. We like to have rewards. We like to have people give us adulation and accolades. We like when we go to the bank. Do you ever go to the bank and you put your card in that little slot at the ATM and you like to get something out? You want withdrawal? How many like withdrawals when you go to get money out?
Yes.
You guys do that?
Yes.
Okay. Before you can withdraw, you have to have made a deposit.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Some of you students found that out coming away from mom's house. You mean I got to put money in? Oh, okay. No, it's not an automatic thing you can just take out. We like withdrawals, don't we? How many like good effects? Like you lose weight or something good happens in your job, there's an effect. How many enjoy the consequential things that happen to our life when they're positive? We all do, don't we? Can I tell you something? For some good effect, there has to be an antecedent cause. Before we can receive, we have to give. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. It's reciprocity. You have to give. I've had people come and say, nobody likes me in this church. Nobody's friendly to me. Why don't you be friendly with somebody else? Get out of your little stupid corner and go shake hands with somebody else. Oh, nobody shook my hand. Nobody said hello to me. Poor, pitiful me. And you're sitting there having a pity party in church. You know what a pity party is? It's a party you throw and you're the only one that shows up. Get out of your pity party. Give friendship. Give a smile. Give encouragement. And you'd be surprised how much people will give back. Amen. Some of you are getting a revelation. Give. Sow. The next term is sow. Sow is planting something and not expecting an instant return. I mean, most of us want it tomorrow. We're gonna call Amazon Prime and get it tomorrow. You know, we want it right now. Sowing means, though, I'm going to plant the seed in the ground. I'm not going to dig it up tomorrow to see if it's growing. I'm going to leave it in the ground. It may take 2 or 3 months for me to see some growth, and it may take another 3 months for me to get some fruit. So we got to be patient. We got to say, God, you're a God of principle. You want to bless me. But I'm trusting you in this point where I've planted the seed. I've sowed some seeds. I'm waiting for them to take root, to bear sprouts, and then to produce fruit. I'm going to be patient, God. You know why? Because I'm trusting you, not the plant I planted, not the seeds I sowed. Contributions. We love when people give things to us, when they give money. They contribute things to us. We like that. But before we can get rewards, we have to contribute. We have to say, I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to bless. I'm going to help this person. Sometimes I give people money on the street that I know are not going to use it right. You ever seen these people begging over there on the street? We'll preach for money or whatever. You know, whatever they say, they've got to sign anything helps, or, you know, I'm from Mars and I'm an alien. Please help me get back. You know, they have all kinds of stuff on there. And so sometimes I know they're scamming me. I just want to give them money. Why? I want to contribute. I want to be generous. Even though I know they're probably going to spend it on booze or drugs or something like that. And then sometimes I'll ask them, I say, are you willing to work? And I stopped a guy just yesterday. I said, are you willing to work? He's a strong, handsome guy, you know, dressed nice, and he's a young guy. And I said, are you willing to work? He goes, oh, yeah. I said, will you come wash my car and cut my grass? He goes, well, I can't do it right now. I've got to go to my other job. I drove away and said, what's his other job? He's begging on Saturday morning. I guess his other job, he's begging on the other side of town for, you know, he's got a different side. I guess that's his other job. But, you know, I'm not opposed to giving money, but we want people to be able to say, look, I can be responsible. And if I want to contribute something, I've got to give something. Or if I want to receive something, I've got to contribute something. And again, we talk about the withdrawals from the bank. Before we can make a withdrawal, we must make a deposit. We got to put something in before we can take anything out. Yes. And before we can have positive effects, ladies and gentlemen, we must have God-directed positive causes. I'm doing something that I don't see the fruit yet, but I know if I keep doing it, I'm going to see fruit. I'm going to have this cause and effect. It precedes the effect. It's antecedent. It comes before. So here's what I want. I've got to do something before what I want comes. I'm going to have to plant seeds. I'm going to have to encourage people. I'm going to have to talk to people. I'm going to have to be friendly to people. I'm going to have to do all these things. I'm going to have to wash the dishes, cut the grass. I'm going to have to do all these things. Why? Because I want the blessing that comes once I do these things. But they precede the effect. Are you with me? So what does that mean for us? We can't just say, well, God, I threw up a prayer last week. Please meet my needs. No, he wants you in the game. He wants to use you as a conduit of his blessing, but it means that we must be responsible and be positive and move forward with these cause and effect scenarios. Luke 6:36 says this, give and it will be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, men will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. For some of us today, God wants to open up the floodgates and he wants to bless us so we can be a blessing. Some of us in here, we need to enlarge our measuring cup. It's way too small. If you sow sparingly, the Bible says you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you want to be encouraged, why don't you be an encourager? If you want money, why don't you give money?
Amen.
If you want people to like you, why don't you start liking people?
Yeah.
You're going to get what you sow.
Amen.
It's really, really, well, he did. I don't like the way he looks, or she said this, or they. Get over your offense and start looking out for other people.
Yes.
Okay, the world's a lot bigger than you and I. And God wants to use us in this thing. So if you plant oranges, what do you suppose you're going to get? If you plant tomatoes, what will you get? So the very thing you're looking for, why don't you begin sowing and planting and contributing and giving in that area, and you will be amazed 6 months from now how God has blessed you.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Let's close our eyes. Let's pray.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your truth. I thank you for these principles, God, that we can give if we're going to receive. That we can, if we want to reap, that, Lord, we need to start sowing. If we want rewards and we want increase, we need to start making donations and contributions. If we want to have a withdrawal from our heavenly bank account, God, we better put something in it. We better make a deposit. Lord, I'm believing and praising you, Lord, that this church is going to be a church that will be a conduit, that we'll be a church that causes things to happen, and the effect of our actions will send a ripple effect throughout not this church, but the whole community, the whole state. God, let us be agents of change. God, let us use these principles of prosperity, not just to pay our tithes, but, Lord, to pay you back for your source, all you've given us. Your heads are down, your eyes are closed. I want us to do business and settle in and center in on God for just one moment. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Ken, I've allowed the worries and cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, to come in and choke out God's word and choke out his place. I have let that spirit of mammon, I've let that God of mammon somehow get in. And I see now the error of my ways, and I need to repent. I need to put a stop to it now. I need to start trusting God. He's my source. He's the one who gives me the power to make wealth. He's the one who'll cause me not to have to go hungry. Lord, he will multiply my resources, and he'll give me a sufficiency for every good deed. God, I repent right now. Just pray that prayer from your heart. God, I repent for looking at my paycheck, looking at my ability, looking at my lack, and somehow getting worried and trying to take things into my own hands. Lord, I repent of that. I repent for trying to be God, and I ask you to be my God. I ask you to take care of my finances, my resources, my prosperity. It's in your hand. God, let me be a good steward. Let me trust you, God, not in my ability, not in my job that I have or my boss. Lord, I want to trust you. I repent for letting mammon, I repent for letting the things of the world come in and choke out the truth of who you are and your plan for me. With your heads down, your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up and say, that was me, Pastor Ken. I prayed with you. I prayed. I needed to deal with that. Yes, yes, yes. Father, I thank you for all these hands that went up, and I just pray right now that you would minister to them, Lord, that we would be people who would be generous because we trust you. We're not fearful. We're not limited, but, Father, we trust you. So, Lord, today, as all those hands went up, Lord, I pray you minister to whatever fear the enemies tried to sow in their heart, that they wouldn't have enough, they wouldn't make it, that somehow they'd be left without. Lord, I thank you that you're more than enough, and we love you, and we serve you, and we know we have a good God that can meet all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Let's stand together, shall we? God, I pray a blessing over every person here today, every family, the people who were baptized. Lord, bless them and that lovely family. Father, let us go out and let us put into practice these principles of prosperity we heard about today. And let us go out and be a blessing to others, Lord, so that you can refill our cauldron so we can bless still again. We thank you for this day, and we give you the highest praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a